Hi, Heated Rivalry fans. You're listening to Believe in Anything, a podcast where we talk all things Heated Rivalry and explore its impact through conversations with other fans and creatives. I'm Emily.
I'm Lee.
And I'm Danielle.
Yeah, you are. Before we get started, please remember to subscribe, say hi on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube. We're at Believe in Anything Pod. So we have a lot to cover today because there's a lot happening. You find us delirious. You find us
a little quirked up.
You find us a little quirked up. Lee and I went to SNL dress rehearsal this weekend.
We sure did.
So we do want to cover that. So before we get into our highlights, before we talk about SNL, just a little teaser on who we're speaking with today. We're speaking with Matthew Hubbard, who is an amazing author, and we got to talk to him about his love for Heated Rivalry and some upcoming books he has coming out that we are very excited about. So stay tuned. But first, let's talk about our weekend update. Kind of a weekend update.
Our weekend update.
I need you guys to tell me everything about SNL because you've not told me anything yet.
We, funny enough, in line for SNL, ended up sat or placed next to another Heated Rivalry podcast, which what are the odds, folks? What are the odds, folks? So we were sat next to Mal of the Pit Crew pod. The day after SNL, we actually recorded a collaboration on their pod, talking about literally every single thing we remember from dress rehearsals. We went into incredible detail there, so check it out. We'll link to it. If you want more details and you're like, they left a lot out, it's all there. It's all there. But we will still tell you a little bit. But just want to direct your attention to that. Yeah, so SNL happened. Danielle, do you have any specific questions?
I did not come prepared to interview you.
Lee, do you want to talk about our SNL experience?
You didn't tell me to come prepared with questions.
Yeah, you got to.
We haven't even. We've been talking for 6 hours now, it feels like. And we've actually not talked about SNL, which is kind of crazy. SNL, dress rehearsal. So Emily came in clutch. The process for SNL standby currently is on a Thursday before the Saturday night show that you want to go to. At 10 a.m. there's like a virtual queue that opens up and you like autofill and fill out how many people you have in your party. It's one or two and yada yada yada, and then you get a standby number, and then later in the day they email you a number with a confirmation. I tried. I was unsuccessful. The site crashed like a million times. It crashed for Emily too, but she ended up getting a confirmation email. I did not. So once again, thank you, Emily.
You're so welcome.
But we got numbers 68 and 69, I think, which is pretty
nice.
Good.
Oh.
which is pretty good. In a normal circumstance, but we didn't really know, I think, what level of people would be there. So Friday night, you show up at whatever the given time is. It tells you in the email, but it's 6:30 for a dress rehearsal. I tried for live show, she tried for dress, and we got the dress rehearsal, obviously. Standby ticket. So you got Friday at, you have to be there by 7, right? 6:30, mm-hmm. 7. And they put you in basically number order in line, and then you wait until 12:01 on Saturday. And then they give you a physical standby card, and you have to guard that with your life. You come back on Saturday. It tells you again what time to come back at, and they line you up in the NBC store. And at this point, it's pretty much full stress. Full steam ahead until you're actually sitting down in the room. You don't know if you're going to make it in. By the time we got the standby physical ticket, there were quite a few people who didn't show up, you know, ahead of us or behind us, whatever. But we moved up to numbers, I think 43 and 44. So it was like pretty decent shots. I think like the average show, maybe like 80-ish people make it in, sometimes more, sometimes less. So we had a feeling we'd have a fairly good shot, but I was trying to stay completely neutral and not get my hopes up. But it's hard when you're also like in a room and around people who are like also really excited and really stressed. So then, Saturday we were there. It was 105 degrees in that NBC store and we were really stressed.
Let's paint a picture.
Yeah.
It is 6:30. Dress rehearsals start sharply at 8. You don't know if you've gotten in, but you have spent the previous day and the day before that thinking about nothing but this moment. You are crammed into a line. NBC employees are saying, do not move from the line.
And you're saying. You should have peed before.
You should have peed before. You're never peeing again. And you're like, okay, sure. There are people coming up to you trying to barter for your tickets. It is hot.
This literally happened.
But it is so cold outside, so you have dressed in layers. There is top 40 music playing way too loudly. Our friend we made in line had a fan, so that was good. It was like a shock to the system.
But I love that. Yeah.
Basically, very high pressure, high stress, and you still don't know if any of this time and effort you've put in will be worth it. Or it will not be worth it, but you will come to fruition.
Yeah.
Yes.
But on the other side of that, we did get in.
Yeah. So basically, yeah, from the minute they take you to security, it's like, go, go, go.
And we got a wristband, and we sat down, and then they did let me pee. Shout out NBC employees.
So nice of them. Yeah.
So nice.
They actually yelled at her for rushing. They were like, you can calm down.
You're going in. Don't need to rush anymore.
Yeah. I'm fast walking to the bathroom, and they're like, we have time.
The last 48 hours, I've been told I do not have time.
I've been told I'm running out of time.
Yeah, then we were in the room where it happened.
We were in the room where it happened. Yeah, and we sat down. It's such a small space. Marcelo came out, hyped up the crowd, and then they ran through it like the actual show. And Connor was incredible. And it was just so cool to be in that space.
So fun.
And to see, just a behind the scenes view of how they put on SNL, and just to see Connor and his element was really cool. And then the Hudson of it all was the most amazing surprise that we again, we were trying not to get our hopes up about a lot of things. Of course, we thought there might be a chance Hudson shows up, but that was so far on the list of like concerns at that point because
we just need to get in the room.
We just needed to get in the room. So when that happened, Lee has never hit me so much in our friendship.
It was a lot.
I don't think I've ever heard my voice go so high. Like,
yeah, it was a body experience, I think.
It was an out-of-body experience, but it was great. And then they brought out Hozier. And then Marcus Mumford took off his blazer and was only wearing a white tank top.
It was a lot.
Just a lot of people wanted to stay. They really tried.
I mean, I've seen people's reactions to Hudson coming out as they watch on TV, so I can't even imagine what it was like for you guys you're in the room with both of them.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
To see them interact together was really cool. Really cool. No. There's a better word for that. Life-changing. Monumental.
It felt, I don't know. It's just like fun seeing people that you've, followed for not even that long, because they've not even been on the social scene for
right
that long,
but they are such good friends, and like you could tell that Hudson was acting as a support to Connor and vice versa, and everyone in the room really wanted to be there, and I may be delusional, but I think he looked at us rightly.
Yeah, we're convinced. Right. Yeah, he did. He looked up and took out, because Emily started waving. As one does.
I love that you did that.
Yeah. Well, plenty of people did that when they were it was between a skit.
It was
not like in the middle of a skit. I'm just imagining Emily being the only one waving. That's how I'm going to picture it.
I said, I'm shooting my shot. Connor Story is right there.
Yeah.
And he,
should.
And then he went like that. I guess I have to explain it. We're on a podcast.
He stuck his tongue out
like, walking, and then everyone else started waving, and I was like, you're welcome.
So Connor Story stuck his tongue out at you is what you're saying.
Yeah, Connor Story's stuck his tongue out at me.
They have like a little thing. It's like a little joke.
It's just like an inside joke between us. Don't worry about it.
That best if you see now.
If you see his tongue out, it's a me thing.
Yeah, like Emily said, SNL was really cool just to see what a well-oiled machine it is, and it is absolute chaos on that floor, and they're building sets and taking sets down while they're filming something, and you see them doing quick changes, and Donna Richards dragging Connor out of every scene.
I've seen the videos of her doing that.
Yeah. There was one point where Hudson, there's a skit that was cut, which I think most people know about now. Have they posted that skit?
No.
No, okay. I've not seen
it. Probably for the best. No, genuinely. So obviously the ice skating rink sketch was On the other podcast that we spoke on, I was convinced it was the first sketch of the night, which just tells you where my brain is at. It was not. Mm-hmm. It was maybe like the third or fourth that we had seen at that point.
You just blacked out. Yeah.
Blacked out. But it was like early enough on. But they got Hudson in another sketch that was cut. That, again, we kind of delved into more on the other podcast. But the sketch itself made, like, really no sense. But Hudson was, like, in it and had a speaking role. But we, like, saw him come out of the corner, and I was like, oh, my God, it's it. He was wearing that incredible, I think it's a Simkai jacket, that he actually, yeah, so the intro, but, like, when the intro Mumford and Sons together.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't what happened in Dress originally. I think they maybe did that because they ended up cutting that sketch that Hudson was in. Yeah, it was just so fun to, like, see.
I mean, I think if people can go, it's a big process. But I think if you're a low number in line, I highly recommend. You make so many great friends in line.
That was the best part, honestly.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was really fun.
Yeah, the show was great.
We say that it was a really great part. And if we didn't get in, that would have been the best part. Was the show the best part? Sure. Yeah, it was.
That's what you were there for.
Right. That's what we were there for. But we did leave the line after 5 hours and be like, that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah.
Again, genuinely. if there was a blizzard, there are a lot of ifs. But if you get a number less than 100, highly recommend trying it. And, maybe try for Dress. I mean, I think the live show is great because you have the energy of being a live show. But the Dress, you do get more time with the host and the cast, and you get to see what they cut and kind of compare it. And then you get mm-hmm. to most likely be home in time to watch the live. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. But yeah, that it was a really cool experience. And I felt like, Lee and I have tried multiple times for Fallon and have been scorned by the whole process. And this kind of feels like we finally completed the circle of the 30 Rock gods.
Yeah, us and 30 finally. Rock for the last
And you got
two
both
months.
Of them together.
And we got both of them
so
together,
a win.
It was pretty crazy.
I was telling everyone that you guys were waiting to get in, and I was like, I need to know if they get in so I can tell everyone.
I know.
Was very excited.
I was like, want to know. I know. I was nervous
to
say.
The FOMO was real, but I was excited for you guys.
I know. Well, if Hudson ever does it, when Hudson does it, you're coming. You're coming to New York.
Are you paying for my flight?
No.
Sure. Well, we'll probably start a GoFundMe.
Wait, side note, did you guys see that we were baited and switched with the Airbnb prices?
Yeah, apparently it was like a special, right? Like
it was
not
a special for like a couple May dates, but it's actually like in the thousands, like it's $2,000 a night.
So no live podcast from the cottage from us. Unless
we get famous really, really quick, unless this podcast starts making money like you've never seen. Yeah, probably not.
We've not monetized a single
We currently make zero.
$0.
We currently lose money making this podcast.
The amount of magazine covers and things that we've to buy again, yeah. We're losing money. Fast. We're losing money fast, guys.
We're bleeding out.
But it's worth it. It's fun.
We're having so much fun.
Yeah, but
fun,
my soul is being fed. I'm rich in
I'm rich in experience.
Soul dollars.
I'm rich in side quests.
Daniel, do you feel like
we leave
anything
out?
Is there anything? Yeah, is there anything you want to know that we haven't talked about?
Lee and I are just trying to get interviewed by Danielle. We're like, Danielle, anything you want to know?
Yeah.
Hey, anything that's been top of mind for you?
You should have prepared questions.
Yeah, take your time.
Like, okay, the only question that's coming to my head right now is, in one word, I'm going to make this hard for you since you've not let me prepare any questions. In one word, what were you feeling when you saw Connor come out for the first time?
Just like proud. Proud is good. I would say elation.
Elation.
A big word then. You can't see what Emily's doing, but she's proud of herself.
I would say the happiest moment of my life.
It's not one word, Emily.
Hyphenated.
All together. I would say go Kylie go in one word.
Go Kylie. Okay, I have another question now.
Okay.
If you have one, was your favorite sketch?
I'm going to go first because
Emily's deep in thought.
We spoke on the other podcast. She said exactly what I thought. And then she was like, you always steal my stuff.
It's not a bit.
Reference, obviously.
Okay, Hudson and Connor.
No, I think my favorite was the obviously the ice skating rink one was just really funny. Like the whole like
why do you think that happening. Was? What happened, Lee?
She's just gone deadpan.
Like I was saying. I like the like it was funny because it was like serious conversation. It was funny to me. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Might not be actually funny to other people. Whatever. I just like the like nature of it. And then, yeah, that's enough of it all. I know sometimes SNL is like hit or miss for people. And also, I don't like when people tell me how I'm supposed to feel. I don't like when people say, this is funny. And I'm like, okay, but it wasn't funny. Sorry. That's a side note. That was an intrusive thought that didn't need to leave my brain. But here we are.
I'm not cutting that. That's
I like that sketch. Yes, for the Hudson of it all, but I also just thought it was funny. And yeah, the elation of that moment. I also like the school.
Oh. The elation of that moment.
The elation of it all.
You always steal my one word.
So yeah, I liked that one.
Like the ice skating sketch. I think like the way, not like the way they were acting. I can't think of the right words, but like.
It was funny.
It was cute. Like all the day, I've just been thinking of like Connor saying, Hudson! No work has been done today.
So that was your favorite, Danielle?
I think so. But like the stripper yeah. one was kind of iconic because he did that in his clown days.
That was crazy.
I will say that one, besides the ice skating one, the one I was most proud of, callback, just kidding.
Okay, steal my words. You always steal my stuff.
No, I really liked the...
I'm starting to feel like a third wheel here, guys.
Sorry. No, I mean, the stripper sketch is so funny. And in the rehearsal, the, like, the pull-away pants... What are they called? Pull-away pants?
Yeah, like...
The pull-away pants had started coming off when he was, like, dragging himself across the ground. So they were halfway off. Amazing. So you could see the... underwear, and it just it's so good. And the fact that he could have marked it. I mean, I know he wouldn't have, like, he's not gonna half-ass anything, but like he could have marked it, not gone full out, like it's dress, like he could have done a much milder version, but he went full out, like with the physicality in a way that was incredibly impressive, up to the upside down lap dance, which is crazy. Just is kind of so ridiculous and so fun, and I think combines everything that Connor's good at and everything that SNL is good at, so it was kind of perfect in that way. And they saved best for last, kind of. Yeah, that was the last one. Yeah, so I think that was the highlight. It ended on a really good note.
My highlight of the week is nothing that Hudson and Connor did. It's the community of it all. So I was working with the lovely Holly June Smith. I'm going to shout her out because why not? This weekend at the Happily Ever After book event in Liverpool. And I was obviously wearing my Hated Rivalry shirt that Naomi designed because I wanted all the Hated Rivalry fans to come to Holly's table. And I also had Hated Rivalry bracelets that I made. People came to the table to get, and they ended up being like lore of the signing, I think.
It's amazing.
So like, I had obviously posted on Threads about having them, and I only made like 20, guys. I wasn't like prepared.
That's a lot.
Is it?
You're also like fighting off a fever and a cold the week before.
Yeah, you're a rock star.
I was going to make more, but I had a fever. That was fun. So I had these bracelets on Threads. I thought maybe a couple people would come find them, people that follow me. But then word spread around the two rooms of the signing. And I had like authors coming saying, someone's giving out Hated Rivalry bracelets. And they were trying to find out who it was. And then like my friend would like deliver the bracelets to the authors while they were working, which is so funny. And lots of people came to the table. And then they ended up buying stuff from Holly, which... it was amazing. Great. I was like, Hated Rivalry community is coming through. We just love talking about Hated Rivalry with everyone. It was really fun. I went to see my other author. She was wearing Hated Rivalry stuff. There was other people wearing Hated Rivalry stuff too, like readers. So it was like great having that community in person. I think that's the first time I've like properly had it in person, and it wasn't even a Hated Rivalry event. Like no one there was linked to Hated Rivalry. It was just other authors. But everyone comes together for Hated Rivalry at romance book stuff now, which is so cute.
Love that.
I know.
That's so cute.
And I was waiting for updates from you guys about SNL.
I guess we're done. No, I do. On a nicer note to end it, I feel very grateful for this community and for you guys. And I journaled this morning. I was like, I can't believe the weekend I just had. And I feel like sometimes slash a lot of the time, I am always the person in my life. And this is with tongue to normies, people who don't have crazy passions like we do.
Normies.
Losers.
I mean, I wasn't going to say it, but I often feel like I'm like the person who's like, man, you like really like that, huh? That's crazy. Like, let's just like see things once and move on. But I've never done that my whole life. And I always felt like maybe a little bit other because of that. And I just am really grateful for people who feel the same way and make me feel like a normal person. Oh, don't look at me because I will cry. I will cry. And anyways, that's all.
I do love that all three of us, even though you guys and me were in different places, we felt the heated rivalry community. It's like two different countries.
Yeah.
The community is everywhere.
Yeah.
And we felt the love.
Oh, I love you guys.
I was going to say, I also feel very thankful for you guys. Like what Lee just said. And I love that Emily and I were talking about the podcast and she was like, my friend Lee loves Heated Rivalry too. Let's bring her to the podcast. And I was like, okay. And now I have two great friends that I love chatting to every week.
You guys.
Emily's like, now I've got to think of something.
What the f- We started this at such a different place that we're ending up. This is the nicest thing.
We're all just going to end this crying now.
You mean a lot to me. And I mean, yeah, we started this because we wanted to like put our passion for this show and this community towards something. And, you know, we've been like, why, who would want to listen to this? Like, or maybe that's my internal anxiety thoughts. Of, like,
I mean, I'm still shocked anyone listens to us.
Right. Every time I'm like, is anyone listening to us? And you guys are like, yeah. And I'm like, that's crazy. It's so fun to get to talk to everyone in this community that feels so big, but it's also so small. And we all like care so deeply for these characters in this world. And there's something really special and like very like comforting about that fact.
Now we're all just going to cry.
My God, you guys.
I feel like I've been crying for like 5 days straight.
Wow. And you guys don't understand. Lee is a Scorpio. So that was a lot for her.
That was a lot for her. Yeah, but I'm also a Pisces moon, so it's just like a lot of emotion all the time.
I know. That's been hiding underneath. Lee's immediately like, I regret sharing things.
That's been hiding out underneath.
Right, and so now I'm going to hide under a rock and you guys are never going to know a single thing about me because I hate being
She's crazy. Never going to message kidding, us I'm again.
I'm kidding.
Wow, the Pisces really popped off.
Basically, this is like the one thing I feel like bringing me joy, and that's not like a thing that's unique to me. I think everyone is like looking for something to be joyous about or for some version of an escape. But I do also hope that it doesn't come up, because I also think this a lot where I'm like, are people done with hearing about what we're doing in New York and like, good for you, like I don't really care, or like, I hope it never comes across as like braggadocious or anything like that, because it's not. And like me sitting and reflecting was being like, I am so grateful like to live where I live and to like be provided the opportunities that I have, and this is like not, it's not part of my job, it's not, I don't really have the money to be doing any crazy stuff either, but that was like part of the gratitude thing. And I'm grateful I have a friend who lives nearby too, who like is willing to hold these things with me.
You guys and your side quests around New York, you never, I feel like you never, even though I'm like in another country and I can't be with you, I feel like you never make me feel like I'm not included, if that makes sense. Even though like I'm obviously not there.
I am kind of still a bit emotional.
Now I'm like going to cry. Like, this is crazy. I sometimes don't want to speak to anyone about stuff because I'm like, people. People are annoying sometimes. And I like hate normally like speaking on the phone and like video calls and stuff. But now it's like 9 o'clock at night on a Monday and I'm like, I don't want to hang up.
Yeah.
You guys just decided to be like the
sweetest. And everyone listening to this is going to be like, I don't care about your friendship.
Like, can we get to the interview? Okay. No, and you're so right for that.
Oh. I'm just going to say it now so like people know for next week. Hopefully when I go to the Rachel Reed event on Sunday in London, I won't make you guys feel like you're not included, and I'm just going to update you constantly. You'll be sick of me, basically.
No, please. We could never be sick of you, and we're so excited that that's happening because you deserve that.
This is going to be the longest intro. This could be a separate episode, just this intro.
Just us talking about how grateful we are for each other and the community. Without further ado, we're excited to share our interview with Matthew Hubbard. Today's guest is an incredibly talented author who writes the kind of stories he wishes he had growing up as a teen in rural Alabama. He's the author of The Last Boyfriend's Rules for Revenge, The Rebel's Guide to Pride, and the upcoming Drop Dead Handsome. He's also a fellow Heated Rivalry fan. We are so happy to welcome Matthew Hubbard to the podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Obviously, we're a Heated Rivalry podcast, so we have to ask, how were you introduced to Heated Rivalry? Did you read the books first, or was the show your introduction?
So I know the book came out in 2019, and I read it that year after one of my friends was, because we had just started reading hockey romances, and my first one was Him by Serena Bowen. And she's like, if you love that, you have to read Game Changers and Heated Rivalry. And I was like, I don't have time. Like, I kept putting her off. And then I read it. I was like, well, I owe you an apology because this is amazing. And then just read them as they came out and reread them often. And I just recently finished rereading the entire series and then rewatching the show for the fourth time. So,
right.
Standard. Yeah. We're all rereading, I think.
I love Shane and Ilya just because they become the pillars and the entire series as it goes on. But I think I have like a bigger soft spot for Scott and Kip just because it's the very first book. And then what happens with them kind of is like the domino effect throughout the entire series. And I really loved them and getting to see their life unfold. And I wish they had another book too to show that, but like having them in the background was really sweet.
Yeah. Did you expect their episode in the series?
No, I didn't know that was happening. But when they teased like that episode was going to be called Scott, I was like, wait a second. And then I was like, oh, this is like, I don't know if you've seen that TV show, The Last of Us, but there's an episode where it's just the two men and their lives together. It was giving very much that. And I was like, okay, I'm digging this. And then the episode 5, I was making my husband watch it with me because he's never read them. Mm-hmm. I told him he had to sit down and shut up so we could watch it. And like, it started showing them winning the Stanley Cup, and I like smacked him, and I was like screaming, like, they're not doing this. We're doing this. And it was just so wonderful having that wrapped in. And I really need them to do one for Eric and Kyle and Troy and Harris and Ryan and Fabian. Like, I need those things or something like, there's a bridge between season 2. That would be really sweet.
I did see Rachel Reed say something about how they couldn't do season 2 without Troy and Harris. So they're obviously going to have that linked in with season 2. So that's exciting.
They have to. I think Troy and Harris is up there with Scott and Kip for me. And Billy and Shane.
Same.
Yeah. We also need like Ilya going around collecting other gay people.
Yes.
So, apart from the Stanley Cup scene, was there a moment in the show or the books that really made it click for you how special this series was?
Okay, so I'm going to base it off the book since I was really familiar with the book. And I think that sitting down to read the book and then chapter 1 being, bam, hardcore sex scene.
Right.
Like, I was like, okay, never like saw this before. And then it flashed back to like when they were younger. And I was like, wait a second. We're working backwards here. And I was like, I've never read a book like that before, especially a romance book. I'm sure there's plenty before that, but nothing that came across my library. And it's like, go ahead, this is different. And then I think whenever you start seeing Shane and Ilya falling in love and the moment that they use each other's names, I was like, this is something deeper than what people would expect from a hockey romance. And that's when I knew it was like something was truly unique about that.
Yeah, it's so good.
And you're a hockey fan, right? So did that come before? I mean, have you been like a lifelong hockey fan?
No, actually, I would say that I fell in love with hockey because I read so many hockey romances. And
I understood the game.
And I was like, okay, I understand hockey now because I've read like 300 books about it.
Yeah.
And so like during 2020, I started watching some like old games online just And then I kind of fell in love with, like, my brain connected the dots, except for, you know, nobody kissed like I wanted them to, but yeah, it was really,
can't have
so
it.
Like,
all.
I would say reading hockey romance made me a fan of the sport.
Oh, I love that. I was watching Olympic hockey yesterday. Who would have thought I'd be here being like, this is great.
my favorite player was playing for Sweden. He's he's in Nashville. He's Philip Forsberg, and he was he's from Sweden. He was playing on the Swedish team, and it was nice to see him.
I know, going from heated rivalry to the Olympics, like, feels like we're just having such a great year.
We are. It's already making up for a little bit of how crappy the year ended.
A little bit. Agreed. A little bit.
No, helping me get by. Let me rephrase. Yeah. It's not making up for anything. It's helping me get by.
Yeah. So those of us who follow you on Threads and Instagram have seen you speak about a heated rivalry and a little bit about what it means to you. But for those who don't follow you on socials, what does heated rivalry mean to you?
It's so wild that people started associating me with, like, my Threads, because not about my books, but about my love for heated rivalry, which, you know what, I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Clocked it. But I think hockey is known for being very homophobic, and we get that in the romance books that we read. We see that mentioned, and just, like, I've experienced it firsthand, like, being a fan of the sport and people, like, telling me I shouldn't be there. And, like, seeing this show and seeing so many people come together and celebrate it. And then you have, like, I always go back to my favorite team, the Nashville Predators, posted about their Pride Night. And all I did was comment on it on Instagram, like, thank you for making me feel, like, welcome. And then people started coming at me because, like, what do you mean you don't feel welcome? You can't go to a regular game. What does that have to be, a gay game? Things like that. And then this man looks like someone who would not be tolerant or an ally, commented and said, you can direct all your hate to me. Matthew doesn't deserve this. This is a safe space for him. And he was, like, tackling people's, like, complaints. And I was like, that feeling I felt when that happened is how I felt when Heated Rivalry came out. And then it was just, like, blowing up everywhere. And we get to see something that is so, I'm going to say, the most manly sport, in the sense that it's, when you think of toxic masculinity, that's what I think of. I think of hockey. But we get to see the softer side of that with hockey romances. And that's what I think makes Heated Rivalry, like, so special to me. And what it means is I'm getting to see all the things that I wanted to see from the books that I've read. And it feels like real life, seeing it on the screen. It makes it feel, I know it's fictionalized, but just it made it feel really real to me. Like, it's a possibility.
I know you've posted about you're writing a adult hockey romance for the first time. We're excited
so
for
excited.
It. but is, obviously, Heated Rivalry might have inspired that, but is there any other ways Heated Rivalry has inspired you in your own life?
I will say, I was working on it before the show came out, and my agent was like, when I pitched her the idea, and I was like, well, with Heated Rivalry, what if I made it more romance focused like this? And she was like, there's been hockey in every book you've written. Why haven't you done that yet? And so it was like, kind of like, oh, you're right. I never thought about that. So I sort of was like, why not? Sort of like leaning into all the things that I love the most as a reader, like letting myself have that permission to write about it. And it's been really fun. And on the other side of that, like, how it's inspired me is, other than vocal stems, give me a kiss, like, some things like that, or that, I would say it, first of all, watching it was very escapism, like, for so many people, but it gave me a sense of joy that I haven't felt in a while. And it was, I would say, when people were all a Twitter, like when your favorite TV show comes out and you log on to, like, social media and people are talking about it and you get to feel part of something because you loved it so much. I haven't felt like that in a long time with things. And then having this, it made me feel that spark of joy again, like, just for queer content and queer media and it being celebrated instead of torn apart.
Yeah. I think we spoke about on the podcast, we all kind of feel like we haven't been in a fandom like this for at least a while. And it's nice having lots of joy about something that we're all passionate about.
Yeah. And it's when you see people not being joyful about it, like, I just posted about this before this, about people wanting to boycott because of Francois.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, we know that will not be accepted here.
No.
Done. Like, and just everybody like, no, you're like, you can't sit with us anymore.
Exactly. Like, goodbye.
That's, I love that. I love that.
We do not tolerate that.
You have those territorial and the positive way of like protecting these actors for who they are.
Yeah. Even Jacob has said recently he's not keen on that side of the fandom, and no, we shouldn't have that included in
the
joy that
Swift
we're feeling.
Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Very similar. Very similar. We've seen this film before.
And what's
I did not like the ending. Yeah,
okay. We did not like the ending.
I was like, you can't leave it there.
Sorry. We can change the ending, though. We can change the ending.
Yes.
Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah, you kind of touched on it just now about this fandom bringing you joy. But what is your favorite thing about being in the fandom?
A lot of inside jokes.
Yeah.
I think that I posted something like, we didn't even kiss. And then I was like, a quote from me leaving a bookstore without buying any books. People were like, it's a joke. I get this joke. I get this joke.
That,
and I was like,
Fred.
Yeah, we're all riding the same brainwave here. I think that's so fun because it's evolving from just like, I love Heated Rivalry, I love these actors, to like incorporating it into not memes, but like the same essence of repurposing things from the show to describe stuff like a mood. Like if people use GIF reactions, it's the same thing. And that's really cool, I think.
Mm. Agreed.
Yeah. It's like, it's fun to spot people out in the wild where you're like, are you a fan? It's like, I hear hockey or I hear Heated Rivalry and I'm like, one of us. Have you had any moments like that out in the wilds where you've like met a fellow fan?
I haven't, but my friend has. She was at dinner and she was talking about how she had watched episode 5, but she had to stop at halfway and she didn't get to finish it. And she was telling her friend this, and the waitress is like, excuse me, did you just say that you didn't finish episode 5? And it's just like, you can like seeing small people. Now I'm like, now that I have gear to wear in public, I'm like looking for people.
Yes. Yeah. You're going to get a lot of fans coming up about that shirt, I'm sure.
It's like, I'm so tempted to wear this to the Love Y'all Book Fest.
You should. What better place to wear it? What better place to wear it? You know, you're going to get people who relate to that.
Mm-hmm. Everyone there should know what it is.
Surely.
I would hope so.
Jumping back to, with The Long Game specifically, obviously we know season 2 is coming out. We're very excited. We're still, I think, deep in season 1 and it's only 6 episodes of TV / the books exist, obviously. But is there any scene in particular from The Long Game you're excited to see in season 2 or you hope is going to be in season 2?
So I have been thinking about this since you were telling me about this interview. And I think we saw, and it's coming off the heels of rewatching the show for the fourth time and noticing nuances that I didn't pick up on. And realizing that, because someone posted this on social media, and it was the cottage scene where Ilya's eating, and said, this is the first time someone's cooked him dinner as a family meal. And I was like, oh my heart.
Ouch.
And then it made me think, like, Ilya doesn't have a family, but in The Long Game, Shane's parents kind of bring him in. And then the whole spoilers, but you know how David talks to Ilya before the thing in the backyard at the end of The Long Game. I'm assuming people who are listening to this know what the book is. I don't want to spoil it, but
no, go for it.
It's like they made him, it's like before the wedding, like they made Ilya their other son. That was already established, how they just welcomed him. And he had a family. And it was so precious. And I really just want to see that evolve. Because we know the book is heavy.
Mm-hmm. I've thought about a lot of scenes, but I forgot how sweet that's going to be, seeing that.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I'm excited to see how.
And there are, of course, other scenes, but I don't know what rating this podcast is.
Oh, you can
it's
speak
18
freely.
Plus.
We've talked about the trophy room. Fine. We've heard the trophy room a few times, which honestly, fair.
The drive to see him as dressed as a gladiator, things
yes.
like that.
Mm-hmm. Someone mentioned the mirror scene the other day, and I was like, oh, I forgot about the mirror scene.
Gosh,
in the gym.
Yeah.
I was like, of course, of course.
Holy
There's
cow.
A lot of good ones. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be a long wait, I feel. But
yeah, plenty of times to rewatch.
Exactly.
Unlimited amount of times to rewatch. After the, popularity of Heated Rivalry. Is there anything that you hope to see in the future? It could be in books. It can be in the show in general.
As a queer author and seeing firsthand how queer books are treated from publishing houses to bookstores, like, I want to see more reception to these kinds of stories, because it took one person loving that story and like how Jacob slid into Rachel's DMs, like, mm-hmm. for all this to happen. And imagine if more people went for it like that and seeing the success. And I'm seeing right now, like, Amazon Prime's Heated Rivalry placement. I was like, you missed the entire point of the show. It's not about hockey. I am not interested in watching a straight hockey show. But I want to see more adaptations and more things like that. More, it's proven that it's a winner. It gets streaming numbers. People are subject to it. There's more marketing and promotion and giving more people chances like that. I would love to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know a lot of adaptations sometimes use the base material more as like a concept rather than fully adapting it. And a lot of people have said, you know, it's because it's so true to the books that, you know, the fans of the books are loving it. And then, you know, newcomers are loving it. How do you feel about kind of like staying true to books when making an adaptation?
I think that is so crucial. And you can tell that the show and Jacob really loved the source material. He was a fan. That comes through. And I feel like, I don't know, with other adaptations and stuff, I don't know how, because I don't think it's been as transparent as this has been, because it's just been taking over the world. But I feel like it took someone who connected with the essence of the story to get it right. Because, of course, some things changed. You have to do that. But, like, I didn't notice what's changed. Like, I was, everything was hitting, like, how I wanted it to hit. And I think that... I don't say that that's what got new fans, but like the fans of the book, I feel like that's what like blew their minds.
Okay. You've already mentioned how you were kind of inspired by Heated Rivalry in writing your first, you know, fully hockey romance. But can you share a little bit more of like how that actually came to be? Like what specifically inspired you about that?
Well, I can't say much, but I can say How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days.
Ooh, love. I literally rewatched that yesterday.
It's so good.
So wow. That meets Heated Rivalry is what it was kind of like the mix that I was working on.
I love that. I love that you use cultural references to a lot of like, in my head, you're like kind of flipping a famous rom-com, so to speak. Like I've been listening to Last Boyfriend's Rule for Revenge. And I feel like you've mentioned a couple of things where they're like references, like even with like, I'm thinking about Fake Blood, and I'm thinking about Carrie, and I'm all these other references. And I love that you just referenced 10 things I hate about you. And there's no question here. It's just acknowledging that I kind of love that you're doing that and flipping them.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, and then Drop Dead Handsome, which is coming out this year. Miss Congeniality.
Incredible.
Yeah, love. That's it. There was no question. It was just a note. Love that.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm like having such fun thinking about all of these references. I do have like a bit of a fun question, which is if Shane and Illy existed in your upcoming books universe, what role would they play?
They do, in the sense, because if you've read my first book, they reference the first Lost Club movie, of course, because they get some idea. And then Drop Dead Handsome, or my second book, The Rebel Scout of Pride, they reference The Great Gatsby, which I don't know if you know that, but Rebel Scout of Pride is a retelling of The Great Gatsby, or a parallel of The Great Gatsby, but told in reverse. Drop Dead Handsome, Miss Congeniality, they make a joke about it, and he's like, what, you've never seen Miss Congeniality? Cutesy little date scene. And these two rival hockey players were falling in love, and they have to go to a Halloween party, so it makes total sense that they're dressed as Shane Hollander and Ilya Rezanov. I mean, I wrote that down that I'm going to do that because I want to make them real in this universe.
Yeah.
To interpretation. Either they're going as the characters from the book or the characters from the TV show or the real hockey players themselves. Kind of like leaving that, not getting the details, but like, I think that's special. Especially if I'm going to take something that inspires me, I want to give it its accolades and its acknowledgement in what I'm writing on. Because I feel like that's just a wink, wink, nudge, nudge to the reader. Like, I know you're getting this because I'm getting it too.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
Love,
I can't wait for people to scream about that when they read the book.
I can't wait to scream about that when I read it.
Man, and there might be a planned spossy scene while they're still in costume. As one does. As one would have to do.
I mean, thank you in advance. They're already dressed up. So Heated Rivalry tackles a lot of different themes. After watching or reading the books, were there any themes that you then considered, you know, maybe exploring in your own books?
I think I've had a friend post about this and how crucial the cottage chapter was to the book and into the show. And it's strip away the content. It's a setting about nothing, but it's about everything at the same time. Because it's letting queer characters breathe. That is how I viewed the cottage scene. Like, they're breathing. And I think in the show, when that happens with, like, his dad, Shane's dad, and he's like, this is a nightmare. And Ilya says, well, it's time to wake up then. And I was like, that kind of queer joy to where it's just queer existence unapologetically. Like, I really want to focus on capturing that more than what I do, just because how powerful that felt watching it. And I always view my books as like as movie scenes as I'm writing chapters. Like, I view each chapter as an individual movie scene and what's happening in this scene, like how crucial that was to follow the action, like letting the characters exist and feel their feelings and all that. And how the show ends with just the driving away in the sun, like that is, it's nothing. It's uneventful in the most eventful way possible, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Totally. And yeah, as a reader and then also as a viewer, you feel like you can also take a breath, because so many times, especially like in the third act, you're like something big in a bad way is going to happen or something like that.
That's how we as romance readers are conditioned to think.
Yeah.
It's like, if I can avoid writing a third act breakup, I will.
Yeah.
Right.
And we thank you for that. So, your book, Drop Dead Handsome, is coming out this year. Can you tell anyone listening a little bit about what it's about?
Yeah, it is. It was the most fun I've had written a book to date, because I haven't finished the hockey romance book yet. So then that will be fun. You see how it goes on, it progresses. But it's about a senior in high school who is applying for college, and he writes a submission essay about what has challenged me. And his guidance, this is like opening chapter, you hear all this. And his guidance counselor is like, this is great. It's boring. You're a boring student. Like, everyone's going to write about the same thing. Like, what? How can you approach this at a different angle? And of course, my character is, main character Parker, he's outspoken. He is described as a wannabe Harry Styles. Like, he wears like skirts, paints his nails, but like rocky and grungy. Like, I think he has like a neon orange. He has a neon orange wolf cut. Like, he's really cool and hip. And he's like, how am I boring? And he kind of takes that to heart. And he's trying to figure out how, I think the premise of him up is he wrote about gender and how his school had these bathroom laws and how he protested them. And he's like, that's great. You challenged someone else's challenge of gender. How can you challenge gender if that's your topic? And he's thinking about it. And then he sees a flyer for the Miss Teen Spirit or Miss Spirit pageant at their high school, and he's like, this anti-feminist bull crap. And then he like starts reading the rules, and it doesn't state that you have to be female to run. It's implied, and it's, he's like, well, what if I run? And that idea came about for me because I was a pageant judge for a college, and I realized that in the rules, and I was asking every contestant what they would do if a male was running. And as you can imagine, being in the South in Alabama, that's where I was doing this, like what their answers were. And I was like, I'm going to remember this. And I held it against people too as I voted. He does that. He enters his pageant and he realizes he's in over his head, and he has to have an escort, like a male escort, to walk out. And the really cute but nerdy student government president offers to be his escort. And of course, they fall in love along the way because the president has a crush on him. He doesn't know it because he's too out there. And he goes through all these things, and someone's trying to sabotage him to get him out of the pageant. And he has to do all these really crazy rounds and almost satirical parody of like heightened beauty pageant rules and how that world is so self-contained. And I love it so much because Parker is openly bisexual, and I have him competing against his ex-girlfriend in the pageant while he's falling in love with this male escort. It's chaotic and messy in the best way. And it's so fun.
Oh, I'm so excited.
That's so good. I need it now.
Oh, and Parker is a baker at his dad's bakery, and he agrees to help Dean learn how to bake as payment for being his escort. And as you know, like a lot of flower fights and scenes in the kitchen and just being cutesy and stuff like that. I just love this book. It's my first full-on romance, to where romance is the A plot the entire book. It's all about falling in love.
I'm like, it's, as you explain it, it's like playing out like a movie in my head. If there's one thing readers can take from this upcoming book, what do you hope they get maybe as they read the last page?
They get to decide their worth. Ooh. That's what Parker learns in the story. He learns, because he thought he was boring, he let other people dictate how he should feel about his life and his actions. And he was living for other people and trying to be what people wanted him to be. So like, knowing your worth is what I would hope people would take away from it.
I love that.
And the fact that there's not a third act breakup.
Yes.
Important.
And again, we thank you for that.
And again, thank you for that.
I think there's even a line, it was like, what are you going to do about Dean? It's like, well, I can't break up with him. I don't believe in third act breakups. Like, I acknowledge that because it's funny to me.
It is, because, I mean, we're all thinking it.
Yeah, it's like you're all bracing. When you hit that, like, 65% of a book, you kind of, like, you, like, hold on to it really tightly. Like, oh, no, what's going to ruin this moment?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm just curious. What are some of your favorite romance tropes to either read or write?
Enemies to lovers and rivals for lovers. Because there's such a fine line between love and hate. And, like, it's like borderline, it's this obsession. It's like the hate is the other side of obsession, like for being infatuated with somebody. That's so fun to play with. And that's what I'm doing right now. And I love it so much. I am not a fan of second chance romances. I enjoy them, but they're just not my top. Or, and Grumpy Sunshine is fun too.
Oh, I love Grumpy Sunshine.
Whatever the trope is, to where they have to share a room and their roommates, but there's two beds, but they're roommates. Like, especially in hockey romances, I love it so much.
Okay, so besides your books, of course, what other books would you recommend to people who maybe want to read more hockey romance after Heated Rivalry?
So I always talk about Him and Us, the Serena Bowen and Elle Kennedy. I think that's the other author. It's so good. It's the book that made me fall in love with hockey romances. I love it. And Serena has this new series called Hockey Guys. And I'm currently rereading them because the fourth one comes out in March.
Cool.
They're so amazing and they're so good. And it's filling the hole that Heated Rivalry left in my heart rereading those, because it's like this interconnected world. It's just, I love it so much. I can highly recommend those enough. My husband and I, we went to a hockey game and I took a picture of our jerseys and posted it on social media. I think I posted it to Threads. And so we're going as the people from Him. I forgot their name. Oh, my God. What are their name in the books?
Wes and Jamie. Is that who you mean?
Okay. I said we're going as Wes and Jamie. Like, because I've read so many hockey books, they're kind of running together.
The names are,
I was like, we're going as Wes and Jamie for Halloween. And, like, she saw it somehow. And then she followed me. And I was like, fanboying, freaking out about it. Because sometimes I forget I'm an author, too. Like, freaking out about it. And so, like, I am, like, hardcore Serena Bowen fan. I'll read anything she writes.
We have to ask, because we're also Swifties here, what Taylor song or album would you use to describe Shane and Ilya's relationship? And maybe let's do one for Heated Rivalry, one for The Long Game. It makes it easier/harder.
The moment you said that, in my head, started playing Her Secret Moments and Her Crowded Room, They Have No Idea About Me and You, Dress by Taylor Swift. And I would say Reputation, because Reputation is a love album. It's hidden behind a lot of angst, but it's about the root of love. And I feel like that is Heated Rivalry. And then I would, Folklore would be The Long Game probably, because it's a little bit deeper, which was hard to read, but the payoff was worth it. Because you got to see him grow. But I would definitely say Folklore. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm like trying to think of like all the songs in Folklore. We talked to an editor and they were like, yeah, I want to make an Ilya edit to Epiphany. And I'm like, oh.
And we were like, what?
That's messed up. Yeah.
Especially Tolerate It. With how he's going through like the internal turmoil of like wanting to be out and Shane doesn't. I just hurt my own feelings.
No, I know.
It's
all my feelings.
It's no, oh, it's so rough. It's so rough. No, and I know, especially now, I think because we're missing, you know, missing content, people are going back and finding bricks to throw at people because, like you said, the whole thing about, like, you know, Ilya having, like, the first home cooked meal in a long time. People are finding little moments like that or making art. I just saw something where it was Ilya and his mom, him, like, as a young kid at a hockey rink, and her saying, "I know it's scary, but you're brave." I was like, yeah, Ilya's probably heard this before. Why would you do this? Like, why would you do this to us?
Why would you do this to me?
Yeah, people are lashing out. So this is just going to be like rapid fire. Two things from the show. We'll go to list. And just first thing you think of, no trick questions. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Ginger ale or Blue Moon over Brooklyn smoothie?
Blue Moon over Brooklyn smoothie.
Yeah. The watery version or the smoothie version?
As someone who makes smoothies for breakfast three or four times a week, they come out watery sometimes, like, no matter what you do. So I'm not going to fault anybody for that.
Justice for Kip.
Yeah, justice for Kip. Ilya's tuna melt or Shane's eight burgers?
Shane's eight burgers.
Shane's loon call or Ilya's gym woo?
Ilya's gym woo.
Yeah, that's a good vocal stem. hang out with Hayden or Yuna?
Yuna.
Yeah.
The devil works hard, but she works harder.
No, seriously. We all need a Yuna. Ilya's okay or Shane's really?
Ilya's okay.
Yeah. Stairwell kiss or your boyfriend's hair kiss?
Your boyfriend's hair kiss.
Yeah. Yeah. Penthouse 1 or room 1410?
Room 1410, because there's just something nasty in the best way about the hotel rooms.
Yep. The Kingfisher or Straw plus Berry?
The Kingfisher.
Party with Svetlana or get dinner with Elena?
Girl. I think I would. I know that's on Elena, but I would say Elena.
All the things she said or I'll believe in anything?
Oh my God, I'll believe in anything. And I just realized that the opening of the Scott episode is the intro to I'll Believe in Anything, and I finished playing. Yeah. I was like, and then when it, like, this is a tangent, I'm so sorry.
No.
About how Elena tells him he deserves sunshine too. And then that song plays when he kisses, like, give me your eyes, I need sunshine. I was like,
I will cry again.
I knew this when I watched it, but it didn't hit me as hard until just now.
Okay, between seasons, because this has been a topic, would you rather have the blooper reel or a standalone episode?
A standalone episode.
Yeah. The Canada fleece or the banana socks?
Canada fleece.
And then last one, sunset scene or sunrise scene?
Sunrise, because it's optimistic.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautifully said. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for being here. And we're really excited for the books you have coming up. And we hope that there is a Jacob-esque person who slides into your DMs to make an adaptation. We would be so thrilled.
Fingers crossed.
I am pushing it. Thank you. Thank you for having me too. I love talking about this book and talking to you all, and I'm just really glad to be here.
Yeah, and I mean, we did find you through Heated Rivalry, but it introduced us to your books, so that's a win-win.
Yeah, something good came out of it for me personally. Yeah. That's wonderful.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Matthew. Yeah. Can you let people know where they can follow you if they aren't already?
Yes, I am on Instagram and Threads only at Matthew Hubbard altogether, and my website is MatthewHubbardWrites.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
I look forward to it.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks so much for hanging out with us. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you're following along.
Be sure to subscribe, leave us a little kind review, and say hi on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube. We're at Believe in Anything Pod. See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.